Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues today. This is Dr. Youngblood, and we welcome you aboard. Looking forward to any dialogue and discussion that we may have together. Very, very relevant subject that we'll be covering today. But let me remind you once again, as we face the issues, as we cover issue after issue after issue, the issue may be dealing with government, maybe with societal issues, biblical theological issues, but nevertheless, whatever the issue may be, let me remind us that we have a source book that we can always turn to that gives us the answer. It's the Word of God. Jesus said in John 8:31-32, speaking to his disciples, he said, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." And then in John 17:17, Jesus said, "Thy word is truth." I believe we're in a society today where truth is not sought after. I believe we're in a society today where truth is not relative, but simply independently considered with individual facts rather than the truth of the Word of God. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, that as we face the issues, we do so based on a central biblicist theological position. It's not based on ideological philosophy. It's not based on denominational dogma. What we talk about is based on the truth of the Word of God. What does the Scripture say? And I believe that's, if you will, something that ought to be viewed or sought after by each one that's listening today. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be talking about a subject. Is the Old Testament valid today? Or, if you will, the value of the Old Testament. But before we get into the essence of that, let me, with my monologue, simply set the stage for where we're going. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe that today we're being challenged by voices from every angle, from every direction, both politically and spiritually. We have some unusual things being said today from the political standpoint. We're being told today that everything ought to be free, everything from income to education to medical care and to medicine. It ought to be free. There ought not to be any cost. In fact, everybody ought to have a guaranteed minimum wage or a guaranteed wage, whether they work or not. And now the latest from the socialist leader in the House, yes, the socialist leader in the House of Representatives, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, I always get her name kind of confused because it's the first time we've had a politician that's known by the three names, and you've got to give all three names to identify it. But with Cortez, the 28-29-year-old socialist out of New York, with her, quote, new Green Deal that she's just rolled out. Everybody's all giggly about it in the House, and many of the Democratic candidates that said they're running for president in 2020, many of them are behind it. But this is some of the things. It's the essence of the Green New Deal. All airplanes will be illegal by 2030. You didn't misunderstand me. You heard it correct. All airplanes will be illegal by 2030. Every building in America will be energy compliant. All coal, oil, gas will be replaced with green energy. We're talking about by 2020. This will close all of the oil production plants. It'll close all coal mining. It will close everything that is we would call energy producing today. It will put about 10 to 20 million people out of jobs. But what can we expect from a socialist? That's just a little tip of the iceberg of what's happening in the political realm, that strange, unusual voices. But they are confusing, unusual, spiritual voices also, coming from around the globe, that's causing chaos and concern and consternation on the part of Christians and in our churches, that I believe we ought to be concerned about and we ought to pay attention to. For example, let me just give you a little brief thumbnail sketch of some of these voices. It's not all of them, just a couple of them, but there's some staggering statements being made. As you recall, the Pope has said about 8, 9, 10, 11 different unusual things, but I'll just summarize it. The Pope has said the Bible is not in conformity with society today and it should be rewritten. The Pope has said hell does not exist. The Pope just announced that Chinese Christians should comply with all of the Chinese communist leaders in China. The Pope has said if you own a gun or if you manufacture guns, you're not a Christian. The Pope has said that walls are unchristian. And now comes Andy Stanley, ladies and gentlemen, who says the Ten Commandments are not for Christians, said the Christians are not obliged to obey the Ten Commandments today. He says that we must believe science rather than the Bible when it comes to how we got here, creation versus evolution. And now the latest was that we need to come unhitched from the Old Testament. So what do you do with the words of the Scripture in 2 Timothy 3:16? All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. What do you do with that text if we can just unhitch from the Old Testament? Ladies and gentlemen, today we have with us our very special guest on Let's Face the Issues, Dr. Neil Phelps. He's a Bible and theology professor at Conservative Theological University. We will be discussing together in a moment the question about the value of the Old Testament. But let me remind you, if you want to have dialogue and discussion on this issue today, you can dial 401-1413, 904-401-1413, get you straight through to the studios and right to our microphones so that we can have the discussion together. And we're looking forward to your comments, your questions. Let me remind you, this program, this broadcast, is designed around a Q&A format designed to elicit from you your questions, your comments, your dialogue, joining into the discussion that would be to the edification and the encouragement and the education of our listeners. Dr. Phelps, you've heard my monologue and my elongated statements getting to the point of where we are today. But my question begs to be asked, Dr. Phelps, the question that I hope that we'll be able to discuss and people will have clarity on it. First of all, Dr. Phelps, welcome to the broadcast today.
Thank you, sir. It's good to be here, and I look forward to our discussion of these topics today. I trust that those who are listening will be enlightened and will be edified.
Yes. Dr. Phelps, since I touched on what the Pope has said, and I laugh at that kind of because it is so inconsistent with anything that's called biblical truth, but Dr. Phelps, the Pope said hell is not a real place, that eventually everybody will go to heaven. An individual by the name of Rob Bell that wrote his book Love Wins back in 2011 says that hell is just a kind of a little pit stop, a stopping point on your way to heaven, that you have to go there to get refined and cleansed before you go to heaven. So what about hell, Dr. Phelps? Is hell a real place? Do real people go to a real place called hell if they reject Christ?
We find in the Scriptures that Jesus talked about heaven and hell. And in one of his judgments that he will be where he will be the judge, we find that he will say to those who are evil in Matthew 25:41, then shall he say also unto them on his left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. And also in the book of the Revelation, that future judgment, we call the Great White Throne Judgment, Jesus will also send others to a place that is called hell. Revelation 20, verse 10, he will deal with Satan. It reads, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And to those who are lost, we read, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire.
So, Dr. Phelps, if the scripture affirms hell, if the scripture validates hell, if the scripture is replete, in fact, we could go throughout the New Testament in text after text after text, talks about hell. In fact, my upcoming book titled Please Don't Go to Hell, subtitled The Doctrine of Hell, The Biblical Doctrine of Hell, should be out in the next 60 days. And I validate in that that hell is real. It is a place of debauchery. It is a place of destruction. It's a place of eternal pain. If that is true, then what we've just said is the statement by the Pope is absolutely inconsistent with the Word of God.
Yes.
And the Word of God is what we need to depend on more than anybody's philosophy or feeling. So, Dr. Phelps, what do we do with Andy Stanley and his statement about the Old Testament having no value and that we need to come unhitched from the Old Testament? Dr. Phelps, does the Old Testament have value today?
Dr. Youngblood, it is very clear from the reading of the Scriptures that the promises and predictions of the Old Testament are fulfilled in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. According to Christ's testimony in Luke chapter 24, he is the fulfiller of the Old Testament prophecy. Not only was the life of Christ pre-written in the Old Testament, but Jesus of the New Testament knew it and fully witnessed to that fact when he spoke in the New Testament. Actually, this is a miracle in itself and finds no parallel in the literature of the world. No other character of history, Caesar, Gladstone, Shakespeare, or any other ever dreamed of saying of the Bible or any other book, as our Lord said, search the Scripture, for they testify of me. Nor has any false Christ or Messiah ever appealed to fulfilled prophecy to vindicate his claims. So we face this vast truth. Christianity is not a new religion unconnected with the Old Testament. It's based solidly on being the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecies.
So if it is the fulfillment, the New Testament's the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecies, if we take away that Old Testament, wouldn't you say, Dr. Phelps, we have removed the fundamental foundation of the New Testament?
Yes, sir. What we call Old Testament then is just a part of God's revealed truth.
Yes.
So we see the two, the Old Testament and the New Testament, a living and organic revelation, and they are connected. There is a connection between the Old Testament and the New Testament, and it's the same God who spoke in both. In the first, it was to prepare for the coming of Christ. In the second, it was to accomplish that. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning, scriptures tell us. So Jesus calmly said, Abraham saw my day, and Moses wrote of me. And then to show the connection between the Old Testament prediction and the New Testament fulfillment, he said in his Sermon on the Mount, I am not come to destroy the law and the prophets, but to fulfill them. So the life of Christ was unique. All was according to the divine pattern as given in the Old Testament. He was the one sent by the Father to fulfill all his will, to accomplish his work as Redeemer, and to fulfill all the prophecies concerning him.
It's a good statement there, Dr. Phelps. If I can jump in for a moment, you read the Matthew 5:17. Jesus said, "Think not that I've come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it." The word destroy there, as I understand it in the Greek text, is to abrogate, to abridge, to modify, to mollify, to nullify, to put aside. Jesus said, "I didn't come to set aside, put aside, nullify, or modify the Old Testament. I am the fulfillment of it." That's in total contrast to what Andy Stanley says. Andy Stanley says that when Jesus came, he set aside the Old Testament, and all we need to do is have faith today, not in the Old Testament, not in what the Old Testament says, but faith in the resurrection is all he says that we need to have. But without the Old Testament, would there be any value in talking about the resurrection?
No, sir. We're so thankful for all of the scriptures, and we find that the resurrection is, first of all, mentioned in the Psalms, in the books that David wrote. And I'm so thankful for the Psalms in the scriptures. The Psalms are really an important part of the revelation that God has given yes. to us. In fact, Psalm 9, verse 10 says something of God and knowing him through his word. We believe that the scriptures are so important in our understanding of the things of God. In fact, I have a few things I'd like to share with you, and that is in the Psalms, we have a wonderful heritage
yes.
as believers. The Psalms are songs of devotion and serve as our vocabulary for our worship. Mm-hmm. Many of the Psalms were written by David, who wanted to offer praise to God. Praise and thanksgiving are themes of the Psalms. Therefore, the Psalms teach us how to worship God in spirit and in truth. Praise, you see, is the expression of a believer's heart. In the New Testament, book of Ephesians, we find that there are instructions for us to consult the Psalms and allow the Psalms to guide us. Listen to Ephesians 5:19-20. "Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." So the Old Testament scriptures are a spiritual heritage that we should treasure. As we find in Psalm 19, the Bible tells us concerning this precious treasure that God has given us. God has given us words by which we may know God and also to live and walk in faith. Psalm 19 speaks of God's word and says, "More to be desired are the scriptures than gold. Yea, much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward."
Absolutely. In fact, Dr. Phelps, I have been a little amazed at some of the things that Andy Stanley has said in relationship to the Old Testament. He says, Jesus' greatest commandment, and that commandment is found in John 13:34, that we're to love one another. Andy Stanley says that Jesus' greatest commandment, to love one another, replaces all of the Old Testament. That's his words, verbatim. Then if that's the case, what did the Apostle Paul and Jesus use in their preaching and teaching?
My answer to a statement like that would be found in Romans and chapter 15. We're told there that Jesus is the confirmer of the covenant.
Yes.
And that means the Old Testament. He confirmed the Old Testament, and of course, he has affirmed the New Covenant, the New Testament.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we are talking about here is he didn't abrogate, he didn't delineate the Old Testament. He rather affirmed it.
Absolutely. One of the things that I've said so often, Dr. Phelps, is that we have so many voices, as I just mentioned by way of monologue today, so many voices in modern society, and each one having a new idea or a new, if you will, twist to what the scripture says. And I know with Andy Stanley's statement that he has literally been preaching rampantly against the Old Testament and against the Ten Commandments. If we don't have the Ten Commandments, then where it says, thou shalt not kill, that means if that is not relevant today, murder by way of abortion is okay. If it says, thou shalt not commit adultery, and if it is not relevant today, that means an adulterous lifestyle in the Christian community is okay. And I could go right on down the Ten Commandments, but I find it sad that Andy Stanley says, quote, the church has a terrible habit of mixing the Old and the New Testament, end quote. I don't understand what he's even trying to drive at with that. We have a habit, a bad habit. He says a terrible habit of mixing the Old and the New Testament. And he goes on to say throughout history, such blending of the covenants has led to mistreatment of people and the unchristian behaviors and attitudes. Now, I don't know where he's coming from or why he's stating that, but what he's doing is denigrating the Old Testament. Dr. Phelps, could you elaborate further on the value of the Old Testament? And perhaps just succinctly, the question, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about, does the Old Testament have value today? Is the Old Testament relevant today to Christians, to the Christian community, to our life in Christ, to the church? Does it have relevance and value today? And should we study the Old Testament? Dr. Phelps, should the Christians, just modern Christians today, should we just discount the Old Testament, not even read the Old Testament, not open the Old Testament, not study the Old Testament? What if the Old Testament did not exist, Dr. Phelps? Would there be any foundation for any of the doctrines and the theological truths in the New Testament?
That would be very difficult, Dr. Youngblood. We believe that there is a connection between the Old Testament and New Testament, and Jesus talked about that. The life of Christ was unique. All was according to the divine pattern given in the Old Testament.
Mm-hmm.
He was the one sent by the Father to fulfill his will, to accomplish his work as Redeemer, and to fulfill all the prophecies concerning him. In the beginning of his ministry, after reading to the people in the synagogue at Capernaum the important messianic prophecy of Isaiah 61, verses 1 and 2, was evident. When all eyes were facing on Jesus, he said, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. When talking to him at the well, the woman of Samaria said to Jesus, I know that Messiah cometh. And, of course, all devout readers of the Old Testament knew that. And when he is come, he will tell us all things. Then the Lord Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And also when Peter addressed his faith in Jesus as Messiah, when he said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, in Matthew 16, the Lord Jesus acknowledged the truth of what he had said by answering, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father in heaven has revealed it to you. Matthew 16, verse 17. Also later, Jesus, when talking with the religious leaders, he quoted from Psalm 110 to identify himself as the Son of David, a messianic title, and also to prove that David called him Lord. By taking the title Son of Man, he identified himself with the messianic title used even in the book of Daniel, Daniel chapter 7. By taking the title Son of God, he identified himself with the messianic title as used in the second psalm,
yes,
where God spoke of the Messiah. So he connected the blessings of salvation given to all who trusted in him, as the scripture hath said, with the promises of the Old Testament.
Yes.
He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, Jesus said, he was talking about the Old Testament scriptures, that shall flow rivers of living water. And that goes back to Isaiah chapter 12 in the Old Testament. So our Lord was speaking of the fulfillment through himself of the types of the Old Testament and the pictures of God's great salvation mentioned in Old Testament times.
One of the things, Dr. Phelps, if I can jump in for a moment, throughout the New Testament, you find a phrase, as it is written. What does that mean? Tell our listeners what that means when Jesus said, as it is written, or when the apostle said, as it is written. What are they referring to?
Well, almost everything Jesus said or did had some connection with the Old Testament scriptures.
Yes.
When Paul, for example, talked about the resurrection of Christ in 1 Corinthians 15, he said that Christ was raised according to the scripture.
Yes.
same idea.
Absolutely.
So his ministry was in accord with what the scriptures tell us, his sufferings, his death, his resurrection, his now his present ministry, his coming ministry as the king. It's all mentioned in the Old Testament. For example, you could read Isaiah 53, and you could read the whole story of the coming, the work, suffering, death, burial, and resurrection, his ascension, his present work as our great high priest, all mentioned in Isaiah 53.
Isaiah 53, and that was about 750 years before the coming of Christ, but identified step by step by step. In fact, in Micah chapter 5, verse 2, it clearly states where Jesus is to be born and who he would be, and it's fulfilled in the New Testament.
Yes, and so when Jesus then spoke of things that he was to accomplish, he would always say that the scriptures might be fulfilled. That was the Old Testament scriptures. And when Jesus drew near to the cross, he said to his disciples, behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Messiah shall be accomplished. That's Luke 18. And on the eve of his crucifixion, he said, this which is written must be fulfilled in me. And he says he was reckoned with the transgressors. And that's Isaiah 53:12.
Yes. In fact, what I find so fascinating and so comforting is the fact, Dr. Phelps, that the Jesus and those New Testament writers quoted the Old Testament more than 300 times, wedding the Old and the New Testament together as one whole. We've got about a minute and a half left of this broadcast, Dr. Phelps. Would you take this last minute and a half, and just basically summarize what we're saying today to our listening audience about the value of the Old Testament?
Jesus made it very clear as he was talking with the disciples in Luke 24, 25 and following, after his resurrection, that all things that are written in the scriptures were written concerning God's promise of a Messiah. And he was the fulfiller of that prediction. In fact, the Lord gave his disciples the key that unlocks the messianic prophecy of the Old Testament. And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, to rise from the dead the third day, and so he began his glory, that all and that repentance and remission of him should be preached in his name among all nations, Luke 24, 46 and 47. And so the Jews of his day and the days that were in which we're living, we know by the Old Testament and its fulfillment in the New that we have a living Messiah. We have a risen Christ. The Old Testament is being fulfilled and will be fulfilled in the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ, our Messiah, is the link who binds the two Old Testament and the New Testament together.
Absolutely. In fact, if I can jump in at this final moment, all of the prophecies about Jesus' first coming found in the Old Testament, all of the prophecies about Jesus' second coming found in the Old Testament. We would have no revelation from Scripture as to who Jesus is and why he's come and what he's to do, were it not for the Old Testament.
Yes.
So I'm wanting our listeners today, Dr. Phelps, to understand the value of the Old Testament, that the Old Testament has not been nullified. The Old Testament has not been outdated. I think it is unfortunate we called it the Old and the New Testament. You put away an old dress and you buy a new dress. You put away an old suit and you buy a new suit. So it's the mentality, I believe, that we have in society today, even among Christians, that if it's old, then it's to be cast off. Give us a final summary, Dr. Phelps, for our listeners today to challenge them to get into the Old Testament. What would you say would be the best place to start in the Old Testament? How would a person, a Christian, get into the Old Testament and see the joy in the Old Testament as being fulfilled in the New Testament, and how we ought to study the Scripture as a whole and not just casting some of it off, but taking the Old and the New Testament?
We call it the Old Testament. Actually, it's the Old Covenant.
Old Covenant.
And it's referring to the covenant that God made with Moses. But we actually, the Bible has many covenants that he talks about. And those were the promises that were confirmed by the Lord, called a covenant, and assured that God would fully fulfill what he had promised. But we need to begin with Genesis.
Yes.
We need to understand that the book of Genesis is so valuable. For there we see the beginning of all things. And then we would need to turn to the New Testament and read the book of John.
Yes.
Where we read about the truth as spoken in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining in our dialogue and discussion today. Looking forward to meeting you once again as we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.